If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
sifter.com.au.
When you have an ensemble of cast, I think we've got 20 voiced characters in the game. It's like everyone's going to kind of have their favorite, and I'm curious to see how, you know, why people like which character over another and why, and like see people have that argument about who's the coolest superhero. I'm very fond of Facet. I've already mentioned him, the crystal guy. I think he just has a lot of utility. He's a lot of fun to play. And Rebound, again, I mean, they're the first two characters you get in the game, so I think a lot of people will have that attachment to them because you have them the whole time. They all have their place in a different way, yeah.
Hello, this is Lightmap from Sifter, our video games interview show. I'm Gianni. Now pull on the spandex and practice your best heroic lines because we're playing Capes, a superhero-themed strategy game. Kate Franklin from Spitfire Interactive in Queensland is my guest. Before we jump into that, here is what has been making the news on Walkthrough, Sifter's news podcast. Hi, I'm Gianni DiGiovanni.
And I'm Fiona Bartholomaeus.
And here are the top stories this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast for Sunday, 16th of June.
We wrap the big showcases Xbox, Ubisoft, and Devolver and share our favourites.
The next Dragon Age game has a new name and a new trailer. We discuss The Veil Guard.
Xbox has hinted again that they are working on a handheld device.
And beloved Australian indie studio League of Geeks is shutting down all projects and are now on hiatus.
You can get every episode of Walkthrough for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or on our website sifter.com.au every Sunday.
You're listening to Lightmap, interesting conversations with video game creators.
Now, one of my very first jobs out of high school was working in a comic book store, and I know what you're thinking. Gianni, that seems incredibly surprising. A huge nerd like you working in a comic book shop, I never would have picked that. But shockingly, true believer, it's where I first started running into game developers, and the idea of this podcast started to percolate. So when I heard that there was an Australian-made superhero-themed strategy game, I knew that I had to find out more. Cade, welcome to Lightmap.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
It's thrilling to be talking to you because it is something that is close to my heart, and playing through the game, I've seen those little touches, those little references to the big franchises which were really popular when I was working in the shop. But tell us a little bit about what Capes is all about.
So yeah, Capes is a superhero turn-based tactics game. It's set in a world where the supervillains have defeated the superheroes 20 years ago. And since then, it's been developing superpowers is outlawed. Anyone who, you know, develops these powers is taken off the street and bad things happen to them. So as a player, you're one of the superheroes who was meant to be dead from 20 years ago has returned to the city. And he's starting to recruit a group of young superheroes to band together and fight back against the injustice that's been happening over the years and reclaim the city. So that's kind of in a nutshell what it's all about. And it takes a lot of inspiration from, I guess, XCOM is the most obvious thing that people go, oh, it's a bit like XCOM. That's kind of quite surface level, I think. Like if you're familiar with Chimera Squad, XCOM Chimera Squad, it's closer to that where there are kind of set heroes and there are missions that you go on. That's kind of in a nutshell what it's all about.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I was doing research for this, I was reminded of a tactical superhero game from more than 20 years ago now, Freedom Force, and it really kind of touched on a lot of that golden age stuff. This is obviously the more modern era comics we're kind of talking about, but does it share a bit of that same DNA at all? Because that was the first thing that came to mind.
It's funny you say that, because our writer, Morgan Jaffet, actually worked on Freedom Force many years ago. And so for him, I think this was an opportunity. You know, he worked on that game years ago, and yet it was kind of Golden Age comics, or Silver Age. And it was like, this is an opportunity to do something fresh. And from his perspective, he was like, I always wanted to kind of take it to the next era and do something, because they were the comics that he was passionate about. So he was the one who kind of came up with the premise for Capes. And you know, drew on all that inspiration. There's definitely a connection there. And it's funny you mentioned that it's 20 years ago, because someone pointed it out to us the other day. You know, you say the game 20 years ago, the superheroes died. Is that a reference to Freedom Force and like, you know, that period of time? No, it actually total coincidence. But we hadn't even drawn that connection until someone mentioned it.
So tell me about, it sounds like it was, an idea that's been sort of spinning around for a little while. But you mentioned things like XCOM Chimera Squad, and there's actually very recently been another sort of tactical game. Marvel Midnight Suns came out as well. What was it about superheroes and sort of tactical gameplay that kind of just made sense to come together?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like we're working on Capes. We were deep into Capes when Midnight Suns was announced, and it was like, oh my goodness, the guys who make XCOM are making a superhero game, and like, this is very much what we're kind of looking at doing. So that was an interesting time for us, and we hung on every thread of information that
interesting
came out
time
about
that or panicking
game.
Time?
A bit of both. So I guess, we made Hand of Fate together when we worked at Defiant. We worked on Hand of Fate, and that draws a lot of inspiration from tabletop gaming. And I think, that's part of what we were thinking with the superhero game. It was like, turn-based tactics games are kind of tabletop kind of space. And I think that's something that we're like, yeah, maybe we could lean into that a bit, bring in a team-based superhero thing. Obviously, X-Men was obviously an inspiration. In fact, I think one of our initial kind of taglines internally was XCOM meets X-Men. That was kind of where the idea started. It actually started with one of our programmers. He loves comic books, and he was working on, in his spare time on the game that would end up being Capes. So that's kind of, the genesis was just someone's project that they were working on.
So what have you done to kind of translate a bit of those stuff? You say that you've had that sort of tabletop experience with Hand of Fate as well. You've got that legacy of working on the original Freedom Force as well as part of your small team. But what were the things that you wanted to do differently for this sort of tactical game? Because, tactical games, I feel like, go through in little waves and they sort of mix up, but there's also a bit of familiarity there for players who get into that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we kind of wanted to move away from the RNG cover-based system that a lot of the tactical games have. I think they do a really good job of creating a lot of tension and every bullet counts and all that, all of the vibes that really suit certain games. But we were looking to make a superhero game. And so, running across a battlefield, swinging a big punch, and then RNG says, nope, you missed, felt very anti-heroic for us. So, removing RNG was something that we did early on. And it kind of started to create this kind of almost at times puzzle-like way that the game would unfold. And so we were kind of looking at games like Into the Breach was a big inspiration, where it's like very strongly about positioning. That was a big part of what we were kind of referencing and kind of drawing on.
Yeah, I definitely picked up a bit of that Into the Breach, especially as you start moving bad guys around the map and you're thinking about knocking them into things. That really felt like that sort of that mode. And I guess, ultimately these games really kind of are a moving puzzle game in many circumstances, or the tactical games tend to be. I'm curious as well, you're using some of those elements like taunts and defensive abilities and your repositioning and things like that. And I'm wondering what you had to do to kind of prototype all those different little moving pieces in order to get them to work nicely without being too overpowered. Like, what was the prototyping process like?
Yeah, so I mean, it started off with just like, what are our superheroes going to be like? And I think we had like a map, like you come up with a massive list. There's so many things you could do, and I think you know, destructibility was a part of what we were doing. So we wanted like to be able to push and pull enemies around the play space. It felt very superhero-y to like, you know, punch people back through things, very action movie feeling to the turn-based tactics. So we had like kind of that destructibility of some of the props and environment, explosive barrels, you know, classic video game staple, and kind of ledges and stuff to knock enemies off. And I think that was a big part of when, like, as we started, it was just, oh, what happens when you kind of move, you know, a character around? What could we do with them? Like, how could we, you know, manipulate the game space? But really what our game is about, a team. So it was about trying to get our four heroes in as soon as possible and work out what like combinations of things would actually make for interesting gameplay. We actually have a team up system in the game, but we also have other mechanics that are kind of more, I guess, just built into the way it plays. So for example, we have a hero that grows crystals on his body. He's hugely defensive, but he can create crystal walls in the play space, which block enemies' line of sight and movement. But it can also be then used for chain lightning on another enemy. So it was trying to think of mechanics that like, you'd use it for one purpose, but then how does that apply to the team? How can we use that to kind of make this kind of team cohesion come together? So we tried lots of things that were really cool and we ultimately pulled out, and things that, you know, in place of other things, mainly because we have 8 superheroes and each of them we really wanted to be really strong in their particular area. So sometimes we have a teleporter, for example, and she's really powerful. She's about getting behind enemies and dealing damage and getting out. She's kind of a glass cannon. We came up with so many really cool ideas about how to use teleportation, and but we're not making a teleportation game. We're making a team-based superhero, you know, squad game. So it was picking which ones worked best to kind of accompany the rest of the mechanics that were going on.
So you've got those heroes that in there. Did you say you've got 8 in total? So how many combinations can people kind of assemble their squads with? Is it, you know, is it a movement ability? Is there an attack ability? Like how do those pair-ups, those team-ups actually connect for players?
Yeah, so like a lot of tactics games, we have, you know, action and move points. And the player can use those in any combination. So you can move a bit, punch, and then move again, and then do your second action. And the way it works is that each combination of hero has a team-up that's unique to them, that particular combination. So 8-8 to 64, there's 64 combinations of different moves that kind of play out of each of the heroes. And the idea was that I think early on when we were kind of, again, grappling with these mechanics and going, are we going to do this? Like, what would be cool? We came up with a list of really cool things. But then it was really hard to remember why I would bring this character over this character and what they provided in a fight. So it was a matter of kind of refining that and going, well, what if this person was really strongly about this mechanic? So for, again, the teleporter, she can teleport her teammates around. So that became, you always remember that was a particular thing that they did. Facet, again, the crystal guy, he uses his crystals to give people extra damage. So you would always remember, oh, if I bring Facet along, he will be able to provide those things. And then it was about trying to have fun ways to kind of integrate those into the other hero's actions.
I know you kind of mentioned this, that you kind of wanted to lean away from the having a 90% hit rate and then missing every single time, as usually when I play XCOM. But, you know, and sort of the audience that loves that really sort of strategic aspect versus like the hero, like, you know, surrogate, being the hero, becoming the heroic character. Like, I'm curious about the sort of, they feel like they're against each other. Are they against each other?
I think, you know, the game is absolutely hits that kind of strategic tactical side of things, but it's really about positioning and it's about using your team together. Like you can't like, yeah, it so I guess, yeah, it was, it's about trying to empower you to kind of have those, like feel like you're a superhero team. It at times, like it may feel like you're completely overwhelmed by enemies, but then by thinking about your moves strategically, you kind of can then overcome whatever it is that, you know, you're up against. So I kind of equate it to, you know, if you think of XCOM as like Alien, where it's, you know, things can bust out of the wall and kill you at any moment. That's kind of that experience that they're creating. But with us, it's like, well, the odds are against us. We're going to have to run in full tilt and, you know, figure out how this is going to work. And I think, again, there's a theme there of this, you know, this young team coming together. And there's this kind of, you know, leading the charge, and they're kind of working that out. And I feel like that's part of what the player is taking on as they kind of deal with those problems. So, yeah, I don't know if that really answers your question, but yeah.
Tactical games, mostly for me, are very like very combat driven, and this was, but you also had to think about, like, I haven't really seen that sort of stealthy sort of thing before.
Yeah, so one of our early missions, when we're introducing, we have a stealth mechanic that can be used at the beginning of some of our combats. And generally, there's no kind of hard fails on stealth. It's not a stealth game, but we do have the stealth element. And we generally use it as a way to kind of get a slight advantage at the beginning of a fight. But in our introduction to that mechanic, we use Rebound. And Rebound is our teleporter, as we've discussed. And so it's about using the line of sight of enemies and to be able to, like, position Rebound. She can teleport through walls. You know, she's highly movable. She can get up high, use verticality to get out of sight, and then get behind enemies and do backstabs. And backstabs are critical for her because it charges her ultimate. So we tried to kind of take advantage of all of the mechanics of the game and kind of express them through the various levels. And I think, you know, that for me was like a fun level to design because it was not beating up everyone level. Like, you can actually get through it but just using stealth, which was kind of, yeah, a fun challenge, I think, both for the player and also for me as a designer when putting it together.
You know what it really reminded me of? It actually reminded me of playing the Batman Arkham Asylum. Actually, that was the thing that kind of came to mind because, you know, you're just darting in and out of different little spots and watching for where the enemies are actually looking. And you kind of felt like this, yeah, overarching, like, or even sometimes some of the Spider-Man games can be a bit like this as well. You know, you're this threat in the dark against all these enemies. And I'm curious about sort of the history and the legacy of those superhero characters, what sort of things you were trying to evoke from the characters in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just touching on that game, for example, we actually took some other inspirations, and that was like the goon's use of equipment, right? So, like, you're meant to be the superhero team and you're fighting just regular people. You should win all the time, right? Like, it wouldn't be very heroic if you just could beat up all of these people all the time. So, you know, weapons became a big part of that. Like, the enemies can pick up and drop weapons and collect them. And that mechanic of being able to disarm them became a really core part of our game. And it started with the weapons, and then it kind of grew to, like, obviously we do fight super-powered enemies. We do fight the supervillains, and they themselves also have their big ultimate superhero attacks. And we use those mechanics of disarming to kind of as part of that as well. So they basically telegraph that they're going to do these big moves, that they're going to unleash their devastating attack, and then you can choose to disarm them or, like, try and, you know, whittle their health down. But the key with that, again, was leaning into, like, the team thing. As the enemies get more powerful, they require more points of disarm. So it's like, do I, you know, spend a few of my team's actions on that? Like, it's not just, like, one person doing the job. It's really about trying to, you know, use all your heroes to the best, to get the best result, I guess. Yeah.
I'm curious about the legacy of your studio, because I know there's a big crossover between you and Defiant Development, who made the Hand of Fate games, games that I really loved. And again, as you said earlier, kind of touch on that crossover between video games and tabletop. How did Spitfire kind of come together and start working on this project?
Yeah, so I can't remember the year, but yes, it was a sad day when Defiant closed, and we kind of all moved on to other things. But there was, as I mentioned before, James Scott had this little pet project he was working on, which was a superhero game. And after the studio closed, he said to Dan and Morgan, look, I'm really keen to kind of keep working on this. And they went, well, we've got this office space, which the rent's paid for the next however long. Feel free to, like, there's computers in there, feel free to use it. Go for gold. And I think it was between that and Dan was working there at the time, like, you know, just it was where he was going during the day, and it kind of, oh, what are you working on, you know? Well, you know, and I think, you know, they kind of came together and went, wow, we could actually turn this into something. This is really cool. And, like, we'd all worked together before in the past, and, you know, everyone at Defiant had a great time working together. So I think the opportunity to do that again, it was like, yeah, okay, let's do this. Let's create a new studio. Let's make this game Capes. And I came in kind of late in that process. I actually was working somewhere else. And when they asked me, you know, we're looking for someone to do the design, the creative side of the gameplay. Would you be interested? I was like, of course, we're getting the band back together again. So yeah, it was kind of a no-brainer for me. And I'd kind of seen what they'd been working on, and it seemed like a really exciting project. Yeah, so that was kind of how it started. And at the time, I think we would, you know, we were planning to just self, you know, publish it ourselves. It was just going to be this little title. But like so many game developers, you kind of go on naively, even with all of our experience, going, actually, there's a whole heap of work to go here. And I think that was like 2 years ago, was when we were originally meant to release it. And it's been 2 years since then when we're finally going to release it. So yeah, it's been quite a journey.
How does it feel to be making games now with mostly a lot of the same people you've been making games with before, but you know, has the development scene changed? Cause I'm hearing every day, sadly, studios are closing down. It's quite a tricky time to make games right now, but I'm just wondering for you all, what does it feel like to be making games, and what is the vibe in Queensland in particular, where many of you are based, you know, what it's like to make games there?
Yeah, look, I've been very fortunate that I've been working since I started my career in Brisbane many, many years ago. I won't give you a number. And so I've been very fortunate to, you know, be working that whole time. But yeah, it's changed a lot. Like obviously when I started at Chrome, you know, it was, you know, massive industry up here, and it's transformed. But in, you know, recent years, there have been a lot of opportunities actually. And then, you know, as you kind of alluded to there, like more recently, we've seen lots of closures and stuff around the world. But there seems to be like a lot of smaller devs kind of doing really cool things up here. There are some bigger studios kind of doing their thing as well, like Gameloft. I worked there for a bit on the Oregon Trail, and there's a few other studios. But I think, you know, I really love the Brisbane scene. I've always been here, and it's really cool to see, you know, I think there's a certain perseverance that is kind of developed out of all of the things that have happened over the years in Brisbane with games. So I think, I mean, you're always apprehensive. Like you said, the news doesn't look rosy, like in terms of the state of the industry as a whole. But for now, we're trucking along.
What are you most excited for players to get their hands on in this game? Is there a secret strategy that you think is just superpowered or anything like that? What are you excited to see for players when they get their hands on it very soon?
Yeah, it's a game we've been working on for a long time, so there's like lots of answers to that question, I guess. So I mean, for one, I can't wait for them to actually play it. I think we've had the demo out for quite a while, and then we had the preview builds go out, so people have kind of been able to see a glimpse of it. I think the thing that I'm really excited for is for people to kind of uncover all of the heroes that are available, and then kind of uncover how they're useful and how they work together. I think there's some fun little stories that are kind of dripped in throughout the game that I think, you know, I think people are really going to resonate with. I think there's, you know, like everything, like when you have an ensemble of cast, I think we've got 20 voiced characters in the game. It's like everyone's going to kind of have their favorite, and I'm curious to see how, you know, why people like which character over another and why, and like see people have that argument about who's the coolest superhero. So there's a bit of that, I think.
Who's the coolest though? Just tell me who the coolest one is.
So I'm very fond of Facet. I've already mentioned him, the crystal guy. I think he just has a lot of utility. He's a lot of fun to play. And Rebound, again, I mean, they're the first two characters you get in the game, so I think a lot of people will have that attachment to them because you have them the whole time. But they really do have a really good moveset that kind of complement each other very nicely. But yeah, it's tricky. It's, yeah, they all have their place in a different way, yeah.
What are you most proud of in the things that are in the game so far? What do you look at and go, geez, we did a good job on that?
Oh. There's a lot. I mean, we're a really small team. Like we've got four full-time staff working on this game. And, you know, I look at everything and I'm kind of going, wow, I can't believe we pulled that off. You know, like there's, you know, I think when we went into voice recording, I did a recording of each of the scenes that we needed to have as reference for the voice actors to kind of see, give them context for what we're speaking. I think there was like 196 video clips I made to like as our reference. And I was like, I can't believe we're doing this. Why are we doing this to ourselves? So like, I think there's just, it's been awesome to kind of create the game that we set out to create. I think there's something very satisfying in that. And you know, there's absolutely a satisfaction in completing things. And I think that's been, yeah, the most satisfying part is like we did it, you know, against our better judgment, we did it.
Releasing a game is a miracle at any time. So the fact that you've released quite a few is just means that you're on a winner there. Cade, look, thank you so much for joining me on Lightmap. I can't wait to see what people think of the game. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
Capes is out on the 30th of May, which may be already after when you're listening to this, but you can find out more information by heading to your favorite social platform or check out the show notes for links. You can look at spitfireinteractive.com.au or spitfire_IA on socials.
Hi, Chris Button here from Drop Rate, Sifter's video game review podcast. Hades 2 follows up the incredible roguelike from Supergiant Games.
And I always look at games, especially games that are coming out or games that are in early access or anything like that, and just look for fan art, look for, because that is, for me, a huge indication that this is a cultural item. This is something that has made an impact. And that's the thing about Hades 2. Chris, people are real horny for this one. They are real horny for it. And Kyle, who doesn't spend as much time online, seems to think that I'm the one who's going on about this all the time, but it's definitely not me.
But should you play it now in early access or wait for the final version? We have the definitive answer on Drop Rate, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Join the Sifter community on Discord at sifter.com.au/discord.
Sifter is produced by Kyle Paletto, Fiona Bartholomaeus, Courtney Borrett, Daniel Lang, Adam Christou, and Chris Button. Mitch Lowe is our senior producer and edited this episode. And my name is Gianni DiGiovanni, and I am Sifter's executive producer. Thanks to Audio Technica Australia and Apple for their support of Sifter. And if you'd like to support independent gaming journalism yourself, why not show your support by backing us on Ko-Fi? We're a tiny little indie outlet that runs on the idea of the smell of an oily rag. So if you have a few extra bucks and you want to help out indie creators, we'd love your support. Head to sifter.com.au/support. That address again is sifter.com.au/support. That's all the time we have for now. Until next time, have fun.